Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't like that. Something.
You got to keep it fresh.
Minisode 230 something.
You got to keep it fresh. 230 something.
We had a week off from minisodes. We took Jesse was gone, so we just took advantage and said, you know what? We're just going to take a week from minisodes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we did.
Nobody needs that weird, quiet energy in a minisode. We get away with it.
The two of you and me, we never get out of the loop. We just get the whole time.
Yeah, we get through it in the episode because we read all the letters, right?
Right.
But if we're just like, so what do you think about this? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Not much. We're just chilling. What are you up to? We just very, very low energy vibes, very chill vibes.
Yeah, we're chill dudes.
Yeah. Somebody has to accuse me of being a charlatan every 15 minutes for me to really get peppy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, all in due time, my friend. All in due time. I'm going to start today's episode. I want to knock this topic out because I know people are curious about it. They've asked about it. Hell, Jesse sent a text about it.
Oh, my God.
We got to talk about Lou Elizondo and also what happened today with Lou Elizondo, which happened about an hour before we started recording.
I have no idea what happened with Lou Elizondo.
Yeah, this is insane to me.
Is he alive still? Just prepare me for this.
He's still alive.
Okay, thank God.
So Lou Elizondo, the real straw that broke the camel's back for me was his chandelier incident. I don't know if you remember the chandelier incident.
The chandelier here?
Yeah, what it was he was doing one of his little presentations. And he was showing a photo and somebody in the audience took a photo of the presentation photo. You know, it got sent out and basically he showed it off as like a mothership or something. And the photo was just the reflection of a chandelier in the window that they were shooting through. Like right. All they had to do was turn the brightness up a little bit and you could see like the little chain and all that other stuff. Lou then came out a few days later, super apologized, says, I need to do better vetting. The person who I trusted the person who gave this to me. I shouldn't have. Basically pushed it off on whoever supposedly gave him that photo.
You could just turn up the goddamn brightness yourself, Lou Elizondo, and do a basic test to see if it's a real fucking photograph.
It's not hard. So come this congressional roundtable. It wasn't a hearing. It was a roundtable, which is just like a discussion. And he presents another photo that he goes on to claim that says a pilot gave it to him like a couple hours before the roundtable, supposedly. And
new
as he
stuff.
Shows it, he's supposed to be like this. If you take the photo at his description,
it looks dope.
It's an enormous fucking UFO that's hovering over like farmland, like huge,
like nope field vibes. Size. Yeah, like nope
like
vibes.
Enormous. Yeah. But even when I saw the photo originally, my first thought was that looks like a farm area. Like that just looks like a farm circle. And then another one. And the internet took about an hour before not only did they pinpoint exactly where it was, but that from the same angle, a colorized photo, it's just circles where crops are grown.
So embarrassing, dude.
Not only is it embarrassing, but like you fuck up that one time, like you've already lost a ton of people, but you get like one more fuck up at best. You would think you would tighten your vetting if he's being honest.
It's
about
like,
where
are
he got
you?
The photo.
Yeah. At this point, it's like, are you a scammer? Like, are you just like low key a scammer?
Exactly. Yeah. Like with so, and here's the other interesting thing too. In an interview with somebody who Mark Brown, Matthew Brown. He's the one of the whistleblowers that kind of blew the whistle on Immaculate Constellation, which ended up actually might being real, which is crazy. Point is, he talks about like in the back end, he's like, there are certain names you say that if you say them, you are like persona non grata, you get fired. Lou Elizondo is not one of those names. You can talk about Lou Elizondo all you want. Grush is one of those names, apparently. Point being, he fucks up this. He just shows this photo. It's clearly a farmland. And he got a lot of shit for it. He made a YouTube apology video. That's how you know. Like he fucked up. But today, right beforehand, the group of people that work with these people that provide whistleblower protection via lawyers and stuff. He was part of the board of that. He isn't anymore.
Right.
He was removed today. or stepped down today. There's a bunch of changes that are happening on that UAP board. This is the board that has had congressional meetings, and I'll go over what's coming up next. Christopher Mellon is now chairman of the board. Jordan Flowers, who I don't know, is executive director. There is a new doctor on the on the team, and it's Dr. Anna Brady Estevez. And I did some looking up on her, and she is a fascinating figure because she is purely within the science tech world. She was the program director at the U.S. National Science Foundation. She led a small business innovation research portfolio that focused on space tech, energy, chemical, environmental, and distribution ledgers. She also worked with blockchains when they were raising, when they were coming into existence. She worked with deep technology companies. Like, she's in the world of tech and has worked with air companies, companies called Meaty, Provivi, Ensight, all these other shit that I don't really recognize anyway. And within the government, and now she's led national level initiatives, including co-chairing in the U.S. Space Economy Interagency Working Group, which is included working with the interagency and private sector on space technologies, which include UAP related stuff, which is how she got she got brought on board to this thing. So she is now part of the UAP Disclosure Fund board as one of their leading scientists, as is Dr. Avi Loeb, which I know people have mixed opinions about him, which fair.
He doesn't seem really like a faker, though.
Yeah, but, you know, be it as you may, he's not the only one. Dr. Anna Brady Estevez is now as well. Lou Elizondo is leaving. Dr. Gary Nolan is leaving. And their former director of strategy, Matthew Ford, is also leaving.
Wonder why?
Yeah, I don't know why. I assume the Lou Elizondo thing had to have been from this last fuck up. That's my best guess. Is like, you can't. Like, we can't be taken seriously if you're just going to be doing this shit.
He got bought by Reddit in the end, is what happened, you're telling me?
He got bought by Reddit within an hour. Like, yeah, an
hour. It was so quick, dude. So
it was not a hard find. Like, it wasn't hard at all.
What are we doing, Lou?
That's why he's getting yeeted. Yuen Feng is now Director of Government Affairs. They are a UAPDF founder. Yuan passes the torch to Executive Director Jordan. And Lester Nair is Director of Operations. They also, they've got a classified briefing with Congress the week of May 12th, so that's next week. They have two House hearings in the pipeline, and they're helping draft legislation right now with Congress to, you know, more UAP stuff. But the last time something was drawn up, the Schumer Amendment, it got gutted right before it got passed. So I have very little faith, you know, that because Schumer had a whole UAP bill that right the couple days before got extremely gutted. So I just want, you know, if people didn't know, like, the Lou Elizondo thing, the chandelier thing was it for me. This is not a surprise, watching the UFO subreddits melt down. But there seems to have been an immediate consequence for his fuck up. Like, the part of the shit that he's been with this whole time, that group of people who've been doing the congressional things, he's gone. He's out. He's done.
So fucking crazy, dude. How embarrassing, dude.
It's so embarrassing, dude. Like, it's so stupid. Like, are you serious? Like,
it's hard to,
you didn't look at that photo and for 2 seconds go, maybe I shouldn't show this in front of Congress.
I want to give the dude the Benny of the D, right? But we don't, we can't.
I did too. And I gave it to him for far too long. It took me, I should have, you know, the book should have been it for me, but I gave him a little bit more and the chandelier was it.
Yeah. It's just so,
I don't understand. Like, but he still works in the government. So I don't get what his angle is. Cause he still is working within the government.
He just might be fucking annoying. Maybe. Yeah. He just might just be like a guy who wants to be involved with aliens.
It might be Occam's razor is that. It might literally be he loves the attention that comes with this
shit. I mean, I would assume that's the case for, like, the biggest, like,
it's insane.
Thing for me is, like, we exist in a world where conspiracy theorists are like, the government is up to something. They're always lying to us. But all these dudes in the government with aliens, we should trust
them.
It always seems so hypocritical to me that we give them the benefit of the doubt.
We don't. We shouldn't. That's the point. It's like the whole point is it's over. But the people who don't look into it do. It's over compartmentalized. Everybody does it. Like, everybody's coming out is like, has their own piece. And then there's Lou Elizondo, who is like, even the FOIA document request out of Green Street, the Black Vault. He's like, I'm so confused as to who Lou Elizondo was in the ATIP program because he has two different pieces of paper that say two different things. And you just, I don't understand. Yeah, it might be at this point, like, I don't know. It might just be the attention. Like, I don't understand.
I think it's mostly the attention, yeah.
But it's nuts. So, you know, as always with Lou Elizondo, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. Now, I just say, if you still put any any faith in that man, then like you're lost cause. Like there's not like even the paperwork, if you do the digging, leads to very quick dead ends on Elizondo, as opposed to like more interesting like things like the Rendlesham Forest incidents and other just other things that you can actually like go through. So Lou Elizondo's out. Done. He's out of that fucking shit. They got the a new doctor on board.
The game is like up, Lou.
A tech scientist lady who's on board now and a few other people that I don't know much about yet, but I'm just glad he's not going to be in those congressional hearings.
Maybe
anymore.
He wants out. Be there. Maybe he just wants out. Maybe he was like, you know what? I'm just going to do two big boners and then I'm out and then I'm free.
I find it. Here's what I, and this is just like, here's, you know, here's the Mathis conspiracy thought I will leave people with as we move off this topic. It is fucking interesting that Lou Elizondo can come out and say all this shit on all different podcasts, talk to government people, go to congressional hearings, be able to host a tour for his book. Grush comes out once and he is removed from security clearance. His mental health records get leaked and yeah. He is persona non grata. We don't hear from him basically ever again.
Yeah.
Why is it so differently treated by the government ourselves? Just a food for thought. Doesn't mean anything, but it is interesting that like they both push for the same thing and one is treated with like freedom to do whatever. And the other one is like, Grush's security clearance had only been restored about a week ago.
I was reading from somebody on Reddit that they thought that maybe it wasn't about aliens for Grush really so much as it was about like shining a light
being hidden,
like something else that he really specifically wanted to point out that like he's not saying because he wants the publicity of saying UFOs are real, and that like the inquests will reveal that or something like that. You know, this other thing.
That's a very weird kind of like angle to take that. We've only had his one or two, you know, testimonies to read through. And even in Grush's testimony, remember the AP news clip of his testimony clipped, like purposely edited out the mention of biologics when it's not edited out of NBC's or CBS's, which is also very
super, just weird, super weird.
Little weird things. Grush becomes persona non grata, but Lou Elizondo can go on and shout shit from the rooftops and nothing happens.
It feels like a pretty much a seal of Nintendo seal of approval on Grush.
That's how it feels at this point. And then you do this. Fuck Elizondo, dude.
Yeah. I must stress, I had to go look at his Twitter account.
Who's?
Oh, Elizondo's?
This is incredible.
Bro.
This is incredible. The posted thing at the top is a Theodore Roosevelt quote that says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming.
Scream,
but who does not actually strive to do the deeds?" Like, it's nonsense.
This man saw an opportunity in the UFO world to fill in a hero niche that people thought, like, people clearly wanted.
Same day, different post. As you know, I'm always the first to admit my mistakes, but one of those times. The facts regarding the photo I shared from a private pilot, as I emphasized several times yesterday during the forum, are as follows. One, the specific photo had only just been provided to me.
It's not even a photo, bro.
That morning.
So instead of vetting it, you just fucking presented it in Congress unvetted.
Two, the photo had not yet been vetted. Like, bro, then why show it?
Yeah, what are you doing?
When we have shit like Tic Tac video, Mosul Orb, like actual government videos,
calm down. You don't understand. I was using really, really shoddy stuff. Dude. I was using really unverifiable evidence and presenting it as if it wasn't. That's why this is fine.
Sorry, go ahead, Dash. Jesse, you want to finish the rest of this? Isn't my fault tweet that you were reading?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Three. The dimensions I quoted were per the pilot's own assessment of what he saw based on altitude and experience. The purpose of me showing the photo was to illustrate the need for civilian and commercial pilots to have a central reporting mechanism to report potentially anomalous sightings. In this case, the pilot who took the photo using his own camera did not have a way to report what he believed was anomalous. Oof. Once again, as I stated during the forum, I only received permission to release it that morning and was only made aware of it shortly before.
So why?
Not sure how many times I needed to say it, and I will say it again. The photo was not yet vetted, and I made that perfectly clear.
So why use it, you dumb fucking idiot? Ah!
Imagine if this
illustrates a bigger point here. When pilots or anyone else for that matter come out to share what they feel may be anomalous, they're faced with fierce ridicule instead of productive dialogue.
Bro,
from some of the UFO community, they learn quickly not to ever share
again. Imagine the New York Times just published AI images.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, the ridicule only came after it was vetted and we found out it was a... So you're telling me a pilot who's flying over a field, looked at the field and said, that's a UFO? That's what you're trying to sell
Calm
here?
Calm down. We didn't check.
The ones who were screaming about instead of discussing respectfully, as I had hoped, missed the entire point of the photo and are not helping other pilots in the future from coming forward.
It keeps going.
It's your fault, guys.
He's
so mad. Okay. That's like every other fucking YouTuber apology.
The best part is every comment is like, then why show an unvetted photo?
Yeah, literally.
Because
it's unprofessional in any way you look at it.
Truly paints him as wanting to be a hero of a story he never got to have.
Right.
And he saw the UFO world and he saw it was still very like, you know, had a lot of spots people were willing to believe. Hell, he bamboozled me for a little while. Fuck. Like up until the book, I was like, I think Elizondo, maybe he says because he was crucial in getting certain videos out, like the 2017 Tic Tac video, because he did work in the government. But he overstated his role.
But now I'm suspecting everything with his name on it. Now I'm less confident about everything that he's ever brought forward because
that's
of this.
The problem. Like, yeah, of course. Like, that's
that's why this matters. Not anything. Not some weird technicality that gets you off the hook.
And here's the other conspiracy thought: if you're the government and you are hiding UFOs, you want this guy out there.
Yeah. Exactly.
This guy is doing your job for you.
Exactly.
He's making. They don't even have to hire him. They don't have to be like, muddy the waters. Just let Lou Elizondo be the egocentric driven man he is. And you just get to watch the UFO world tear itself apart time and again. Gah! That's what makes this shit so annoying.
It's extremely dumb. It's extremely dumb. What do you got?
Take it away from me before I yell more. What do you got? Somebody else. Go.
I'll give you something good, some little fun, down to earth, we'll say.
Okay.
So down to earth, it's slithering.
Oh.
Snake bites.
Oh, this motherfucker.
Are one of the most terrible things out there, and treatment for them is equally as bad. In order to get anti-venom, scientists have to extract the venom from a snake, then inject it into a horse or a sheep, then harvest the antibodies from the animal to then use it to save a human bit by a snake.
This is like some Batman shit. This is like some Batman
it works.
Shit. Yeah.
And it costs a ton. It's also region specific to the snake, right? You have to use the anti-venom for the venom. And potentially, based on the fact that they have to stick it in an animal first, the antibody could give you some allergic reaction to the animal. Well... Now scientists have created a broadly protective antivenom, the most powerful ever, thanks to a man with an immunity to snake bites.
That's
now, if you're wondering, how did this man learn he was immune to snake bites? Well, he didn't, because he did it all on purpose. He spent nearly two decades deliberately building immunity by injecting himself
literally
with
the
increasing
Princess Bride.
Doses of venom.
Literally the Princess Bride.
Literally
vaccines, Batman. Baby. Yeah. That's vaccines.
From some of the most deadliest snakes, including black mambas, king cobras, and tiger snakes.
This guy was probably fucking vibed out all the time. This guy probably had a rough couple of years.
Oh, well, this is the thing. Over 100 exposure spanning 16 different species. This guy, Tim Freed, I think is how you say his name. Built up this remarkable resistance that no one else has achieved. And because of this, he donated some blood samples to Jacob Glanville and his team at CentiVax, Inc.
A hilarious idea.
And now CentiVax is funding this research to create what essentially would be a snake bite EpiPen that you could take with you in a backpack if you go hiking, and it just deals with any and all snake bites because of this one guy who was an absolute insane person.
What was he doing? Like, how do you get the snakes? You just go to them?
I don't know. I don't know if he was like,
hello.
Let me go to the zoo. How many will you let me bite?
Imagine he had to get some of the venom, and then because he couldn't do a full snake bite.
No, you. I mean, like, I guess you could.
Venom.
So he's milking the snakes with the fucking.
Yeah, I guess. Like, that's how you would have to do it. Like,
I don't, dude, I don't know.
That's but
I
so will crazy. Say,
he's as crazy. So I'm not sure how many people out there are aware of the guy, the billionaire who is trying to
live
not
forever.
Die.
Yeah.
So he's like cycling in his son's blood. He's like trying all this crazy shit.
He was like, there should be a church to the body, to the human.
Well, I am convinced this man is absolutely insane. I think he's as insane as this guy that I hope we get to study his body at some point.
Yeah. That's like Wayland from like, you know, Guy Pierce when he like,
yes.
Makes,
yeah.
I'm David. I'm a new android. That's like his type of vibes.
I hope that that guy, just like this dude, Tim, they're weird. I'm going to experiment on myself. I'm fine with that. Go nuts, crazy people. Do, like, invest in yourself. Experiment. I don't care. Sometimes it pays off like this. So, anyway.
Do what you want to your own body.
Yeah, your own body. Have fun. Inside Freed's blood were antibodies forged through years of repeated exposure to lethal neurotoxins.
That's so dumb. That's like hillbilly magic. That seems impossible.
It really is. I guess his defenses in his body neutralize a broad range of snake venoms. By isolating and studying these unique antibodies, Glanville's team aimed to transform Freed's extreme personal experiment into a groundbreaking medical achievement, a universal human-derived anti-venom.
This guy's got to be a snake man. He's got to go be the new crocodile hunter.
Yeah, he's kind of like Cobra Commander a little bit.
Yeah. It's like
I
unreal.
Hope he has the cobra. Come on.
He probably fucking sounds like that if he got bit by 100
I talk
snakes.
Like this.
Yeah, he has a
I
little
lost
S at the end.
My vocal cords when I got bit by a king cobra in the throat.
Glanville Over issues a warning that when it comes to results, to be clear, we do not recommend self-immunization of snake venom to anyone.
But it is tight that this guy did it and lived.
That's pretty much it. They're like, yeah, it's cool this guy did it, but please don't. For the record, there are over 2.7 million cases of envenoming, which is a great word, by the way.
That means snake
bite? 100,000 deaths per year from snake bites.
Jesus Christ.
Damn, I didn't realize that. I mean,
100,000?
Yeah, deaths per year. Yeah.
Deaths in the globe.
Yes. Yeah.
Holy fucking
shit. But still, that's
shit.
Like crazy considering yeah. You don't think often about like.
It's a lot of deaths.
Getting you.
That's like four baseball stadiums every year.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and 2.7 million people just getting bit.
Boy.
And still living, but like 2.7 getting bit? That's a lot too.
Yeah. I mean, I've been bit by a snake, but not by a venomous snake. So
I've never
lucky.
Been bit by a snake. They've been pretty chill around me.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
like,
I still,
like zoos and stuff, and they're like in your face.
I'm
when
still
they like
cool
go
snakes.
To the snake exhibit and they wrap around your arm and stuff.
Snakes ain't my enemies though. I still like them. So even though they bit me. As a people, they bit me.
Well, that's because a snake. You've only been bitten by snakes that can't eat your ass.
Right, exactly.
Like, if I got like, anaconda, dude, same thing with sharks and tigers. I'm like, nah,
no, thank you all.
Anything that can eat me, I'm not a friend. Don't like it.
Anything that you can eat John Voight? Friend.
Hilariously
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you guys both had big, meaty articles because mine is not, but it is so fucking weird that I just... I hope you guys haven't seen this because it is the fucking weirdest shit that I've ever seen. Late in the evening in Godfrey in Madison County, sheriff's deputies respond to Tony's ranch house located in the 3300 block of Godfrey Road, Godfrey. In regards to possible discovery of something interesting near the parking lot. And the police said there's preliminary investigations going on. And it's crazy, but basically there was this woman from Alton who was at the restaurant. She said, quote, we were just going as a group of friends to get some pizza. And that's one of the two sentences that she's quoted in this entire article. She says that she got out of the vehicle. She noticed what she thought was dropped food. And her friends were in front of her heading into the restaurant when she had to get their attention to go back. And she said, I thought someone was doing a prank. Basically she called the cops and she said that she thinks she found a human foot in the parking lot and the cops investigated, like I said, and it turns out that it's not human, but I don't know what it is. Here you go. You tell me to describe it to the people and just,
whoa,
let me know what you think it is.
Okay, it looks like a monkey paw.
Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like a human foot almost.
Yeah, she says she thought it was a realistic prop, but man, like, you can click on it, you can get a little higher res. I just don't know what I think. It looks like a little beef jerky monkey foot.
It does look kind of gross.
But there's like some kind of weird like tendon situation going on. I really don't know what I'm looking at. A dog's foot maybe, like just really dry.
Wait, so that's the full story? We don't know what, there's no follow-up?
They're like, it looks like a foot, doesn't it? But let me tell you, it's not human. That's the story.
I hope there's a follow-up one day.
This is why I always complain about this, and I'll continue to complain about this.
Yeah.
Media, news media, you're failing us. No one's asking questions.
I know. Maybe they need to get tested still. Maybe this is like on-the-day reporting.
It's not. This is from April 26th. Hold on.
We've had time. Surely someone would answer. This is like we were talking about those dudes who died in the hospitals, and there was just never any follow-ups. And it's like, what do you mean? No one investigated ever?
Here, let me end today's minisode with something that I just, that literally came out 10 hours ago, that has some synchronicity with the Folk Magic episode. Okay. We talk about consciousness.
Sure.
So in quantum mechanics, when there is an atom, it is in superposition, meaning it's in multiple states at once. The probability of each of those states is different. The thing that causes something to pick a state is measurement. Right. But that doesn't mean observation by us. It means something that it could literally interact with another atom, and that's called decoherence. But it causes them to interact, so they have to choose a state, and that's what happens. And then decoherence kind of can ripple out like a butterfly effect, right? And that's decoherence in quantum mechanics. Whoa. However, today, a study was released where they were able to image atoms in a unique way. Usually the way they image atoms is like a cloud of atoms. It's the only way they can really do it. And they're already kind of interacting in that way. But via laser and a weird freezing method, they were able to freeze and like basically take a picture of these atoms in their natural state without them being in a cloud, specifically the boson ones. And what they learned is that a theory proposed in the 1920s is actually true, where the boson particles were interacting with each other in groups, but in groups were still acting as though they were a wave. So, and they were kind of grouping together and then becoming a superposition in a group, meaning multiple of them then take on all states at once while they are in like a lattice grid formation.
What?
Fucking wild. So yeah, like atoms can come together and then as a group, then take on wave-like properties as though they were a singular atom in a superposition state. Did that make any sense for you?
I have no idea what you just said. What do you mean?
I feel like I was like halfway grasping it, and then you lost me like in the last like five phrases.
So, yeah. Basically, what they learned is that when in their natural state, not being measured or observed, boson particles, which is the particle they were measuring,
right,
come together and interact. They come into groups, basically lattice-like, grid-like patterns.
Okay.
And then once they're in a group, instead of becoming non-wave-like and they're decohering because they're interacting,
right,
they group up and then become wave-like. So while there's a group of atoms, they are now a wave and a particle as a group, as opposed to just being particles because they're interacting and now their superposition is forcing them to collapse. Does that make sense?
I understand everything except for why their superposition would force them to collapse.
Normally, when quantum objects interact or bump into something, they lose their quantum weirdness.
Right.
That's decoherence. It's like, so when they try to take a photo of it, they say it's like taking like a blurry photo and then making it sharp.
It's just you're just saying it's the fact that they group together that keeps them together.
Yeah, so then this is surprisingly, scientists saw that these atoms, while freely interacting in empty space, still behaved like waves. They didn't immediately lose their wave-like quantum properties, even though interactions were happening. So the particles were interacting with each other, but they weren't decohering. Scientists used to think interactions usually force quantum systems to quickly decohere, turning from wave-like to particle-like. But these atoms maintained their quantum wave-like nature clearly enough for scientists to actually photograph and confirm it visually. So these atoms were coming together and interacting, but still
how do you photograph
staying
that
as a wave, which is a theory from the 20s. It's called validation of de Broglie's theory, which was 1924 when he proposed it. That's when he thought of it, but Only now were they able to actually measure it. So even in the quantum world, they're interacting. This is, again, 10 hours old. I gave you the link to the article. There's a bunch of different articles out there that they are still remaining wave-like,
right,
which they say just it proves that quantum wave properties aren't just fragile things that vanish at the slightest bump. Atoms can remain wave-like for longer than expected, even during interactions, opening new doors to understanding and harnessing quantum mechanics on a whole. So, I don't know. I'm just saying it's interesting that this is
I keep
today.
Thinking of like a PlayStation 5 or something like that. I keep thinking of the way that like things are handled, how like data is loaded and unloaded and becomes something different when you're not observing it. You know, I think about that analogy all the time and like how they were talking about how the PS5 can like load stuff that you're not looking at faster so you don't have to have loading screens and stuff like that. And then I wonder if like the rules of physics actually do change from time to time. Do you ever think about that?
Well, what's fascinating
maybe we're getting hardware updates on reality. You know what I mean? Like maybe the tech is changing because that seems
literally
crazy.
Quantum mechanics is studied separately than classical because they don't know how they connect. So they're just like totally separate things. But this, they say, potentially implies that reality is basically quantum, deeply more quantum than we realize. If even when interacting, particles are staying existing as both a wave and a particle, even though when they interact, they should decohere. So what it teaches us is that interaction does not automatically mean decoherence. That's fucking cool.
I can't.
I don't know. It's just fucking mind. It's hard to like wrap
your
fucking
brain
around. Is this
really a picture of it?
Yeah, they have photos. They got like little laser photos of the particles, like in the article.
But this pink shit is not it, right?
No, 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 no. Hang on. There's another article that I actually had before this one that I was just trying to read a couple of them to make sure I understood what was going on.
This looks like some like
this one. This right here.
AI
I'll give you the live
bubbles
science.
And shit.
Here's the live science article.
Okay.
And you scroll down a little bit. They kind of show diagram.
Oh yeah. Okay. Interesting. Wow.
So, yeah, research also captured images of lithium fermions, a type of particle that repels similar particles rather than bunching together.
I don't know what any of this means. I'm trying to read it and like figure it out, and I got nothing.
The best way I can break it down is quantum science. When you look at something, it collapses from wave and particle to particle. Anything interacting with it is the same as measuring it. No matter, you don't have to look at it. If it bumps into something, it causes it to be measured, aka pick wave or particle. This is showing that that's not actually always the case. They can interact with each other, bump into each other, but still stay wave and particle simultaneously in a state of superposition, which
is literally
now how
impossible.
Yeah, how quick?
Yeah.
Well, it's not impossible, clearly. But
well, I
mean, what
it seemed
mean?
Like it was a second ago. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's what that means, like on a grander scale, I don't fucking know. Like,
it just makes me think about that. Updates to the engine, updates to the hardware, different, like the reality is like loading and unloading faster around us, but our observation of it is like part of the power.
Well, I mean, that, yeah, right. Like, that's the other part of it is like, what is it like? At what point does collapse happen then?
Right. Yeah.
Is it different for every particle?
Does nothing, like, can nothing know. Be, it can only be when nothing is observing something?
Well, here's the other part is atoms are 99% empty space.
Right.
They're just vibrating
energy.
Which
means so are we,
areas.
Right?
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Well, then exactly. It's like, what does that mean? Like, but yeah, like it, I don't understand.
Yeah.
It just says that the experiment just reinforces the idea that quantum behaviors like wave particle duality are not just theoretical constructs, but now observable phenomena.
How do you observe something that's happening while it's not being observed?
That's a part of the experiment
that
I don't
I'm
understand.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And ice and freezing and then looking at what was frozen or something. I don't know how they did it. I truly don't understand how
All
they
right.
did it. But fuck, dude, what a day for that to come out when we're talking about that stuff on the episode
that
today. That
bends my mind around. That is so crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Let me go to
we
this.
Are
is
so,
magic just
we are
science
so
we
wrong.
Don't understand?
We're
magic
so
is just
wrong about the world right now still. We are so
still,
wrong.
Yeah. It was only last year we discovered that the universe isn't expanding equally in all directions.
Did you watch QI? You watch that show QI?
No.
It's like a show where they just like talk about facts all the time. It's like,
oh, yes, at your house, actually, at your place. I have, yes.
And literally, they like did like a factoid one time because the show's been on for like, you know, 2 decades or something. And they're like, literally, it's like something like, I might be oversaying it, but it was something like 85% of the facts that we've said on the show are like no longer true or something like that. Like,
That's
It's like, it's like an insanely high amount of facts just constantly are being like edited, you know, changed, like reviewed and reassessed. Like it's unbelievable. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's again, the fact that it now shows decoherence is an instant. What the fuck does that mean? And how high, you know, I don't know, man. It's crazy.
The Mark Cerny, dude.
The more we learn about quantum mechanics, the more the world feels magical in a weird way. In a weird,
like,
weird
truly,
way.
Like, actually, like, I can, like, use symbols and control it more, like, based on what it is.
You become Doctor. Dude, if one day you become Doctor Strange.
Just like what you're saying sounds more like the, like,
right?
Astral plane than it used to. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's weird, man. Yeah. It's just weird. It's cool. It's weird. And this is what I meant by like magic and science are maybe a little closer than we thought.
What I meant was like that foot looks like a foot, but like it's, if it you does. Think, it if everybody like thinks it's a foot, then it is a foot, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's true though. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. Jesse, you look like you are, your mind like is like,
I've been trying to read this and I just like, it's,
I understand what the words are saying.
Yeah.
I understand what the words mean. You know what I mean? I understand the words. I just don't understand.
Very rarely do you, Jesse, get like completely like blown out by a fucking like a
that's
quantum
fucking
thing.
Trippy you're the one as hell. That is trippy as hell.
Well, because I'm trying to understand it, because I always feel like we go into the quantum stuff like, oh yeah, that's yeah. But really, then I'll see online like these guys don't understand this at all. So I'm actively trying to understand. And I've got to be honest. This time I'm like, I don't think I get it, but I understand what they're saying, but I like don't get it.
I'm gonna pass this along to Big Mama Chunk in our Discord because she is like scientist and she always calls me out on when I don't think. She led me to where learn about decoherence. I'll just, you know, like it's very fascinating stuff. I'm very curious what they'll think.
I'm happy to be educated vicariously by any means.
Yeah,
I really appreciate the people who've taken the time to make like a very informative video at our behest.
Me too. You know, yeah. That's always wild to me.
So yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's it for our minisode. Jesse, we'll return to you in a week and see if your brain is healed.
Thank you
all so much for supporting our Patreon.com. Oh, and you know, according to the quantum world, you're both supporting us and not supporting us at the same time.
Some of you are listening to this in the future, and some of you are listening to it in the present. Isn't it?
And past.
Yeah. Whoa.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.